Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here. I'm the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. And Joe, well, it's been about a week or so past the Double or Nothing pay-per-view.
Let it ride.
Let it ride, exactly. How did it ride, and did you let it?
Having so much happened since that day.
Right.
From what I remember, it went pretty well. You know, we had a good crowd. Yep. We had some excellent matches. We set a lot more things up for the anniversary. You know, there's just so much going on. And it's like, you know, from that show, then we got a show coming up Saturday and the anniversary, and we just set a deal with House of Glory in August 17th to do a joint show, and Amazing Red and Santana are supposed to be coming out for that, and working on an Amazing Red seminar, which should be great.
Nice. Yeah.
for the students. Hopefully they take advantage of that. And the card is pretty much 90% done for the anniversary. We got Gabe Sapolsky coming for the seminar tryout, the day of the Hall of Fame ceremony, that we got that going on Saturday. Had to get a new swamp cooler because the other two were broke because the idiots leave on the pump when there's no water in it. So that was $650.
Jesus.
The swamp cooler at the facility, you know, that always has issues, but with the corporate companies, now I'm responsible for fixing their swamp cooler. So we have to get a pump for that. The lease expires at the end of June, and we were looking, and it seems like there's no other options but to pay the man, as they say.
So everybody has a price.
Yes. So that'll be, you know, I'm going to be generous by saying, well, if we would have stayed in a normal lease, it would have been another 5% increase. So instead of saying it's a $1,200 or $1,150 a month increase, I can only say it's a $1,000 increase because it was going to increase $150 anyway. So
fair enough.
So, yeah. So it's like I'm running around a million things. We have the LFC in town this week. And then Chris Bay messages me yesterday and he goes, have you seen this? And I'm like, no. The ring post I've never seen. Now, you know, being bent back is fine. It's kind of bent forward. But there is basically 40% of it is basically cut in half.
Wow.
So now, because we had a rush, so now yesterday we had to take down that ring, put up the other ring, and now we're hoping to see if we can weld the ring post.
Wow.
But I'm not so sure we can. And it's kind of weird. Like, where do you get the same exact type of ring post?
I've never heard of that one. And the question is, like, is that weather warping, I would assume, right?
It is literally like somebody took a chainsaw,
Jesus,
and basically cut like 40% of it. Like, I've never seen it. It's like when he showed me the picture and you look at it, you can see the bend and it's like, wow, that's pretty noticeable.
Wow.
And, you know.
So now we go to the question. Who did you piss off, Joe? who has access to the keys and who has a chainsaw?
You know, people are like, oh, I can't believe that's happened at the LFC. It's like, yeah, there's a bunch of 130-pound girls who don't even touch the ropes, the turnbuckle right. pads. They're the ones who mysteriously broke it.
Yeah, no, that's that. I mean, wow. I've never heard of that. I wonder if there's threads out there online that talk about ring post breakage and experiences with that. That's crazy. So now you're settled in to the lease. The lease is going to be a year lease, or is it going to be a?
No, they won't do a year, so it's another 3 years.
Wow. With that, can it slide up the increase on it?
Can they what?
Can they slide up the increase on it every year? So,
yeah, it's 5% again.
Yeah, so it's going to be 5%. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, man, you start booking those WrestleMania dates.
Well, everything's got to increase now. It's a couple of dollars. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Whether it's, the new students signing up, paying, an extra $50 sign-up fee.
Right.
I don't really want to change the rate from $250 a month,
Right.
It's tough enough. So the sign-up fee for an extra $50, that might work. Maybe some of the bigger shows, we charge an extra $5.
And maybe some of the boys, give you a little break.
Well, that's another issue of, nobody rides for free mentality.
Right.
Like, a lot of the guys in exchange, and then if they don't work shows, well, they're the ones. I never make out on the deal. They're the ones who always make out on the deal. Like, hey, free training, you work for a discount, but if you're not working, then where's the discount?
Right.
So if you make everybody pay the gym fee, and then it'll be a similar situation. If you work the shows, well, you're not really paying for the gym fee, and you're still making a few bucks.
Right.
But if you're not working the shows, you're just utilizing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not an easy thing to when you think about laying out the structure. I don't think a lot of people take into consideration the fact that you are dealing with landlords, and every company is, unless someone happens to run it out of their backyard or have a facility that they own. So it's interesting. When you run into these issues, how it affects the overall pricing of everything else that is, that has to run under the system. And it's something that then it's funny how then it becomes, well, Joe's just trying to, make a buck. But you don't understand the situation if you're not familiar with how the process works in, leasing out spaces like this. And the same thing with the casino shows too, right? They're always trying to up the price. And at the same time, you want to keep it affordable for the fans. That's one of the most, almost impossible things to balance out is cost of operation versus, what it costs the fans and the students. So it's a very intricate process, but on the flip side, like you said, you got Amazing Red coming in to do, a seminar, which, man, people better take advantage of. You got Sapolsky coming in. Again, these are opportunities that don't come with every other, school or wrestling company. So it kind of offsets it if you are someone who is a student or a wrestler who, kind of gets frustrated, like, oh, we got to pay more, we're getting paid less, or et cetera, et cetera. It's like, well, there are benefits to being part of this. So I think that's something that people need to kind of keep into consideration. And for the fans aspect too, it's not necessarily that the money's going into your pocket, but it's allowing more shows, it's allowing the guys to get paid, it's allowing for the facilities to run. So, unlike other things where it's just, prices go up, everything rolls back into the product and the training that's going on.
Yeah, you know, we're working on some other stuff. You know, I'm not going to say the name, but it's another East Coast thing. And I think moving forward, because with Mania, we're going to form a lot more newer relationships. So House of Glory is looking to do something WrestleMania weekend. So they're like, hey, you know, we'd love to come to Vegas. So they want to maybe stop in first and see what they can do. And then there's another company on the East Coast that people know very well that we're looking to do something in October. And I'm trying to maybe bill it every couple of months. Now we can charge a few more dollars. The shows are going to cost a few more dollars, but I think it's going to be something that, hey, you know what, at a regular high octane, having Amazing Red and Santana, and which means we're probably having Bay and Hammerstone and Kenny and you know, the national names, you know, people are going to want to come to that and, you know, paying a casino price of $40 instead of $30 for the front row will work. So, you know, my concept is FSW versus the world tour. And at the FSW arena, it's like a House of Glory. It's TCW. It's Revolver. It's all the people that we dealt with and talked with. And the fact that we have a lot of these companies coming out for Mania, most of them, you know, are smaller companies trying to get some exposure out there. So that sell, you know, like Manny Lemons, he's coming out. FSW's versus Devotion is not going to draw per se because they don't have the national name base.
Right.
So, you know, in one end, it's good for us. This works better on their end. This is their exposure. This is them coming to Vegas. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to make money from that. So that's our benefit. So everybody has to have a benefit in one way or the other. Their benefit is they want to come to Vegas. If they want to go rent the place, it's going to cost them $5,000 to $10,000 easy. And they got to rent the ring. And in some cases, you're going to have to rent the trussing and the lighting and the sound or whatever. Right. Or you can try to go to Sam's Town and pay $10,000 and maybe they'll contact you. You know, we tried to contact them when we couldn't even get it. You know,
you got to call the next pay-per-view Quinceanera, and I'm sure they'll answer the call.
They'll answer the phone on that one. You know, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but I know I got some numbers, and the strip properties were looking for like $60,000 for the week, you know, for 3-4 days. And that was including like, hey, we're going to bring 1,800 room nights to you, and you're banging us for $60,000 and a $40,000 drink guarantee. So nobody's going to come to Vegas and find a decent spot for less than $5,000.
Right.
Well, we're offering it for pretty much half that. You're only going to get a 3.5-hour window, but you get to do your show where 250 to 270 people. It's like you wish you could pack that place with 270 people on WrestleMania weekend when WrestleCon's got their shit going on, GCW's got their shit going on. Other people are randomly going to try to run elsewhere.
Right.
So this is a built-in facility. You got the lighting, you got the sound, you got the ring, you know. So this is going to be great for those other companies that are coming in. But now, because it's trying to think out of the box and having those conversations with House of Glory, that, hey, you know what? This is something. Again, you can't overkill it. You can't, hey, every 2 weeks, but every couple of months, that now becomes a big time marketing event. It's a casino show at the arena, which now saves us, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 from doing it in the casino.
Yeah, and it's extra exposure on Triller too.
Right, because we know House of Glory's got a good fan base.
Yeah.
Now that's the only question, because I asked him and he said I think he tried it and they weren't sure it would work. Like my thought process was, hey, you got your fans, we got our fans. Why don't we simulcast it with the same announcers? You know, one of your guys, one of our guys, but you can watch it through the FSW link. So that's a major question moving forward.
Right.
Because it's really hard to gauge, because if we run three shows, we don't know what we made from one specific show. It's just all the accumulation of all the minutes and all the views from any event. And it's not just the events that we had that month. You know, we're still getting, you know, 100 views this month from No Escape in March. So right. all that stuff adds up. So, you know, it's definitely interesting. I know with the Roku, they're going to do the Hall of Fame ceremony. Like, I was confused. I thought they were talking about putting it on Triller, and they want to air it as a live event on the Roku channel. So, you know, it's free.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, so far, who do we have going into the Hall of Fame? And there any other plans to announce? Anyone else coming up?
Last question first. Yes, there is. We're looking. You know, we haven't done it for a few years. I was hoping to settle on five. It's just a difficulty. You know, I'm not going to lie. Matt Hardy was a guy we wanted to put in. But if we can't get even a speech, it's kind of like we're done. It's kind of pointless. Right. You know, the Godfather, he was doing, you know, an event and had to fly out the day of the Hall of Fame ceremony. But he came down to FSW and he cut a nice promo about it, you know. And that made him one of the inductees. We're able to play a couple of minute video, you know, in that situation. So right now, the first announcement was Pauly Culver. And Pauly was the commissioner that changed the way the commissionership was kind of utilized. It was kind of like, hey, everybody, casino show, how you doing? Nobody liked doing it. It was, you know, a Mike Modest, a Rocky T, like, our school shows, the arena shows, they're like Raw, SmackDown, so you can make matches, and they felt more part of the product. Understand that. But at a casino show, that's the pay-per-view. There's not much the commissioner's going to do in-ring-wise with the matches being set up, because they're usually all announced at that point. Right. So that became more of a, hey, thanks for coming, everybody, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they weren't very excited about being the you know, the welcoming committee.
Right.
And with Pauly Culver and Kevin Cross, Killer Cross, it changed the whole dynamic. And, you know, it led up to this big match at the Silverton, where Pauly Culver was going to wrestle Killer Cross, where we did the swerve with Lance Hoyt. And regardless, you know, the turnout was very good for that. You know, Pauly got his comeuppance in there, but the Pauly being the antagonist, and I'll be honest with you, initially we went into this and Pauly was going to be the babyface commissioner, because Kevin was the heel.
Right.
But everybody loved Kevin. And, you know, midstream, it changed. And, you know, I had some great ideas. The Pauly pissed my pants. You know, I'm like, hey, what if? You know, and Kevin was, you know, very instrumental in ideas. And I also had the idea of, hey, Kevin, come to the ring, beat the shit out of somebody, but almost like you're the announcer of the match. Like you're talking about beating the shit out of this person and handcuffing people and everything we did. And it was give and take and give and take. And we did the interim champ because Kevin got kidnapped and we handed Matt Hardy. You know, I told the story to the guys. It was crazy. That, you know, this one is the, you know, hey, telling the story. So Kevin got called for Lucha Underground. He was working Lucha Underground, But like 2 weeks before, they weren't scheduled. And it was like the day of the casino show. Like, what the fuck? What do you mean? So now we're stuck. So Matt Hardy was going to be there anyway. So I'm like, hey, I got this idea. What if we do the UFC version of the interim champion? And then we did an angle where PJ Black, who just happened to be in town and friends with Kevin, who was also going to Lucha Underground, because right. we figured we'd play into it. Joey filmed it. We did some stuff to where all of a sudden you could see the mask down and it was like, oh shit, it's PJ Black. Bah, 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 bah. So we ended up doing, I got in the ring. I made the match. And Paulie announced, we got our new champion, Matt Hardy, because he had turned heel and laid out Kevin because of Paulie at the show before. So it's like, okay, I got an idea. Paulie cuts the promo. I'm the owner. I walk in. No, Paulie, it's not going to be that way. We're going to have a match. And who better than also a Hall of Fame inductee this year, the very first FSW champion. We're going to have a match, Matt Hardy versus Kenny King. Interim champion, winner will face Cross. Okay. Bell rings, bing, bang, boom. Matt hits a move on, Kenny hits a move on Matt. One, two, three. Matt doesn't kick out. We're all looking like, what the fuck has happened? Matt Hardy didn't kick out of the fucking move. So now we're all looking at each other. We're like, what the fuck? Blah, 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 blah. You know, Paulie grabs the referee, rips off the referee. That's not the finish. Blah, 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 blah. And we're restarting the match. Matt Hardy wins. And even though Matt was the heel, he's still Matt Hardy. The crowd pops. And nobody gave a fuck that Kenny got screwed right in front of every single one of these fans. Like, there was nobody like, oh, you know, you think on Facebook, oh, this was bullshit. You know how many times you see a two count or a two and a half count and people go nuts? That was three. That was three. And they're screaming for an hour. Matt never kicked out. Nobody gave a shit. So...
The story of Kenny King's career, right there. Unfortunately,
he is now a two-time Hall of Famer.
Right? No. But I'm talking about, you know, if you look at how good he is, and put him on a national scale, and go, why is that guy not one of the, you know, all-time top guys in the business? And it's just kind of that. Scenario. Well, he's not Matt Hardy, which really is mind baffling to me, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's that under the radar thing that there's these people that they're a great hand. You know what I mean? And it's like Kenny looks the part. He can definitely talk the part.
Yep.
And he can wrestle the part.
Yep.
And it's not to say he didn't have, you know, he had good runs in Ring of Honor, but never the top guy. Yep. And they had a lot of guys. So he was a guy kind of in the upper middle.
Right.
And same thing with TNA, being a TV champ, being an X Division champ, whatever it was, Kenny was always, you know, a guy. And, you know, and I see him and it's like, oh, yeah, man. Kenny's really good. And it's kind of like talking about when I used to talk about, like, hey, a Ryan Taylor or a Thomas Day, that their transitions were just so smooth, but they were so under the radar. Like, Taylor was a guy who was so good, but he was so underwhelming because he wasn't really a talker at all. Looked like $10 million.
Yep.
But the most over he got was being with Thomas Day, because Thomas Day had the charisma, the personality. But he was another guy, like him and Eli Everfly having matches where these guys, like, it's a clinic.
Yeah.
And Kenny's another one of being so smooth. So that transitions. So Kenny King is also, you know, going to be inducted into the FSW Vegas Hall of Fame. And it was like, I'm thinking, wow, like even me, like how the fuck did I forget Kenny? Like that's the mainstay, you know, because the problem became, it was like we were talking about the Wall of Fame and putting him up there. And it was like, Kenny's our first champ. I've known Kenny since 99. Kenny also, when we had the fallout with the trainers, with Modest, and Kenny was the guy who stepped in. Yeah. And Kenny was the guy, when he did do some classes, there would be an overwhelming turnout, which didn't make certain people happy because he'd get paid based off, hey, we're going to charge a few extra bucks for Kenny King. And it'd be like, wow, there's 22 people that just came in for Kenny's class. Even though they pay their monthly fee, they're okay with paying $5 or whatever it was for Kenny's class.
Right.
While other people would run a class and six people would show up even though they already paid for it.
Right.
So it was kind of an ego thing, unfortunately. Right. So, but when it was time for that Wall of Fame, it was like, well, you know, Kenny's active. He's on TV every, you know, every week and thing like that. You don't think of him as an alumni guy because he didn't train with us. Initially, it was kind of like going to be that way. The Chris Bays of the world, the Crosses. Guys that we brought in that nobody ever heard of, Eli Drake, until we used him in 2009, and Brian Cage in 2009, and the Reno Scum, and guys that were considered FSW guys, right, who then made it. Kenny was a guy who already made it. So it made it like, okay, it's kind of a weird dynamic, and it could be just weird because it was, that was the way I envisioned it moving forward.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, it'd be like putting Modest on the wall where Modest was already an establishment.
Right. And the longevity and not even WCW stuff, but, you know, the stuff at APW, he was an indie legend. Now, if we were the ones that were APW, 1,000%.
Right. Right.
But he was a guy that we had known after the fact, and he had that run in Japan, which was huge.
Right.
Pro Wrestling Noah. He had his own school. You know, Simon Gotch got a lot of NorCal heat because he left APW. And I remember Roland Alexander, who for people don't know, was the guy who ran APW. And I remember the post, and it was just like, this has got to be a fucking joke. This motherfucker got signed by the WWE, and you heard so much about it that when we finally brought him in after the Vaudevillians thing ran out and stuff, I had not a very high perception of Simon Gotch. And I don't know the reason why I decided to use him. It may have been the Natural Born Killers. I'm not even sure if that was the first show we used him on, which it may have been. Right. But all I remember is picking him up at the airport and having, you know, wrestling historian, like talking about shit from the back in the day, but just having conversations about everything. And it was like, holy fuck, this is like, he quickly became like one of my top five favorite wrestlers that I've ever dealt with.
Sure.
But it was like, he was so buried by the NorCal community that going into it, maybe it was such low expectations.
Right.
But he did a seminar, and I remember a few people like, oh, this was great, you know. And it was like, he was a minor star in WWE. He was just a guy in WWE. And, you know, and he'd even joke, and it was like, oh, yeah, MLW. He goes, yeah, I'm signed for a national contract. And it was low four figures. You know, right. It was like per event. And it was like at that point, because he signed it, it was like, well, I can't even do Ring of Honor. I can't do TNA. And it was literally for the price I would pay Matt Hardy for two shows.
Yeah.
So if you go back to past podcasts, you know what I paid Matt Hardy back in the day, you know. So it wasn't very much money.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And Roland Alexander himself was a personality and a legendary figure amongst the boys, and a loved guy and a hated guy.
You know, my communications with him were fine. I met him at the CAC the first time.
Sure.
And that was when Buffalo Jim was actually running a show at the Beach Nightclub that I used to talk about, that the Beach paid him like $9,000. They brought in Viscera, and Viscera drove from like Arkansas. Okay. And everybody else was a bunch of kids. There was Yokozuna's brother who passed a few years back. He was like training because Yoko was involved with it back then. And they literally sold like 15 tickets. And I remember talking to Roland and Donovan Morgan at the time. I didn't know any of these guys, and I met Morgan, and he was cool and stuff. And I'm like, hey, you know, I was doing my radio show, and we ended up being at the same table or whatever it was. So I'm like, hey, come on down. You know, I'll get you in, because, you know, they did some promotion on my show or whatever it was. And I remember, and Donovan and Roland, they both came to the show, and it was like, oh, what a shit fest. And I remember Rick Cornell, who became Reno in WCW, he was at the show. And at that time, there was regulations. So I remember that's where I met probably Jack Slammy, when he was Jack Brown, with his real name. And he did the ring announcing, and everybody had to pay like $100 for, you actually had to get a license.
Your license, yep.
If you got in the ring, that's why they would try to keep the managers out of the ring, don't get in the ring, because it's like $100.
Yep.
And you had to have the two paramedics on duty, and you had to have an ambulance on duty, and it was like the gate was less than what they just had to pay for the ambulance and the ambulance, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it was a disaster. And how this conversation became a question from the Hall of Fame is beyond me. But that's where we're at. And then the last time we did it, I thought it would be a really good idea to induct Eileen Bruno, who was a huge, huge fan. She'd come with Tony to come every show. And she had been battling cancer for years. And even on her deathbed, like, she made it to a show. And everybody loved her. And you know, everybody was fans of her and what she was going through, and so supportive of FSW that people were so gracious and overwhelmed that I wanted to put her in there. You know, I remember hitting up Tony. I'm like, hey, I got this idea, you know, I think it'd be great, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, she had passed at that time.
Right.
You know, and everybody was so excited about it. And then we go 5 years later, and now we're looking at different things. And it's like, you know, the idea of FSW has always been, man, if it isn't for the fans. And it's not bullshit. It's the fucking truth. You know, the Chief and, you know, Brandy and Heather. And the, you know, everybody by name and the other Brandy, and how, you know, Heather and David, and before Lisa Land got, everybody became friends with everybody because of FSW. And it really became like the family atmosphere. And through it all, George Furman was a guy who many years ago started coming to the shows. And he was the true ringmaster. It'd be like, okay, and he'd bring Bradley, and they'd have the friends and Courtney and all the other guys, and be like, hey, I got 12 for this show. Hey, I got 14 for this show. Hey, I got 9 for this show. And you see how the atmosphere was different because George got sick for a while and he's doing much better. But the thing is, it's like, what fan has brought the most new people to FSW shows in its history?
Right.
And that's George. And it's like, so if we're going to put somebody in, why not the guy who has brought the most people to our show? He has literally paid probably over a year's worth of rent from the people that he has brought there.
Sure.
And, you know, I think it's a great reward for it. You know, even though I'm going to lose out on the $35 that George would have paid to go to the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, but think about how many people he has to bring to the Hall of Fame
ceremony. Yes. His cousin Laura, who we did the bullying, she was at a school. And years ago, you know, she doesn't come to very many shows, but she was like very involved with the school. And we had a bunch of our guys. I remember Nino Black. I remember Funny Bone. And we spoke in front of the entire school. And she put that together. And I'm pretty sure she wouldn't have purchased 4 tickets. But she did because, you know, George is going to be in. So right now it's George, Kenny, and Paulie Cover, which is 3. I'd love to get to 5. But if we only get to 4 this year, it's okay.
Sure.
So 30 minutes later, I gave you the names of everybody inducted. See, I told you I could talk for 10 hours, you know. I know we haven't done it for a couple of weeks, so it's like, you know, I know you're real busy, you know, with Glenn King, you know, helping direct his movies and stuff.
Just clean up.
How is my guy Glenn?
Glenn is doing fabulous.
I saw Red Cup at the TNA shows like a couple different times, but he was always there waiting on Glenn. So it's like I would see him say hello, but then I would still never see Glenn. Like, I can't believe he's not coming to the anniversary show. Chris Bay, open challenge.
Oh, I'm not sure that he's not. I'll see him tonight, actually. So I'll make sure he
You don't have to tell him I said hello. Tell him Joe said, "What the fuck? You don't come around no more."
Yeah, he's doing well, and I'll pass along the salutations and greetings.
You know, tell him, hey, I can use another good free Mexican dinner, or something. Fucking guy.
Yes. Yeah. All right, we'll hook something up.
Hook it up.
You know, when you're talking about this Saturday, what do you have on tap? And especially because we're getting so close to the anniversary show.
Well, since we didn't really talk anything really about Let It Ride, but a major happening occurred at that event. We had a Cash in the Case qualifier, Dante King versus Cutthroat Cody. And not aware, Jacob Austin Young was under the ring. He must have got there the night before, snuck in with the key or something. You know, thank God there was no bowel movements under the ring when we were done.
And you wonder why you got your ring post cut in half. You got guys sneaking under the ring. Know. Anyone can get into the school, Joe.
Telling you. So, yeah, now that we're going to do the lease, believe me, we are changing the locks because we have no fucking clue at this point who has keys.
Yeah.
Well, in that event, Jacob Austin Young came out of nowhere and cost Cody the match. And Cody got counted out. Dante King is now part of the Cash in the Case ladder match. But after the incident, Cody, Bateman, Andy, Alice Blair, they basically welcomed Jacob Austin Young to get involved in the match later on. That was going to be another qualifier, which was Bateman versus Gregory Sharp. Marquee matchup.
Right.
And during the match, Jacob Austin Young came to the ramp with the microphone, and immediately before Cody and them, they all went toward it, but security stepped in the way. And at that point, nobody was aware that Jacob Austin Young did bring himself some backup. And Remy and Clutch, who go way back with Jacob Austin Young from the OWE days in China.
Right.
Which maybe Jacob Austin Young was foreshadowing, because he posted a picture of the crew in China, maybe saying, hey, I got a crew. They right. laid out Bateman, which allowed Gregory Sharp to pin Bateman.
Right.
And Gregory Sharp advanced. And coming out of that, we have now a match that I would have never thought was going to be happening a month ago. But Remy and Clutch are teaming up against Bateman and Andy Delgado.
Yeah.
And Cody and Jake will also be on hand.
Yeah.
So we got that match.
And really quick, let me say, man, Greg Sharp and Bateman, can you just say that they're two of the best workers? What they were doing in that match was, I mean, it was poetry. It was beautiful to watch.
I was looking at him like, man, how good of a tag team would these two motherfuckers
oh, be? Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, just so, oh, man, just so smooth. And everything is done with an intention and a story. And they know how to catch the right rests. If you're a pro wrestler, if you're in school, look that up. Watch, just watch. You can see they just find every beat perfectly, and it's just something else to watch those guys work together.
You know, FSW versus the world. You know, we can have Bateman and Sharp go to Uganda and take the Ugandan tag team titles, my friend. But moving forward, you know, Shogun, I don't even know if you want to call it an exhibition or what it's going to be. Shogun is challenging any five predominantly Future Shock stars. Not five guys in the ring at once.
Right.
It's going to be basically a gauntlet match. And that is part of his preparation. So there's going to be different shapes, different sizes. You know, I know already Davion Jacquot, Raw Reese, Phil Godfrey, maybe a Ricky Tenacious, a Brandon G. They have all inquired about getting an opportunity with the champ.
Sure.
So you got to come check that out. And he's going to wrestle five guys all in a row.
Right.
You know, the title is not on the line unless he decides, I don't give a fuck, I'm going to put the title on the line. You know?
Oh, I see. I see a Brandon G upset if that happens.
Yeah, never know. You know, remember one time when Hammerstone put the title on the line against some fucking goof, and the goof became the champ. So, hey, you never want to miss an FSW show because you don't know what's going to happen. All right. We have the return of Dave Dutra and Wise Guy. They're going to be taking on Makeshift Chemistry. You know, they're going after the young guns. You know, there's teams like, you know, I throw out there Tito and Che, Royce and Jarrell, all these really great tag teams that almost feel slighted by FSW because we're giving opportunities to the Killer D's and the Mariachis and the Makeshift Chemistries. Is like, you know, you want to say you're the best company. Why aren't we on the show? These kids are on the show. We're going to make examples. And they made examples for the Mariachis. They, you know, they got exposed in that match. They're young and they're on the rise, but they're not at that level. And makeshift chemistry, they've looked outstanding in their matches.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because at the anniversary show, there will be a four-way elimination tag match for the FSW tag titles. Sky High will be in that match. The MK Army will be in that match, which, by the way, we're going to be doing a six-man tag with Sky High and Bodhi against the MK Army and one of Koa's boys from Arizona. So that got added. We just added, because she is fucking pissed off, Maserati. She's going one-on-one with Zamaya for the first time.
Wow.
And that's going to be interesting to see. Maserati coming off a couple losses. And Zamaya is somebody I could see as a future champion in FSW. Yeah. And she is a champion in Arizona. And she's a champion in California. Yeah. And she has improved so much from when she first stepped into a Future Shock ring.
Yeah.
So that match just got added. Bret the Threat, he's not happy after losing to Eli Everfly in the qualifier.
Another great match, by the way, Joe. Those two. Oof.
Yeah. Now I got Nick Gage Threat wants all these hardcore matches. He's wrestling Santana Jackson. Like, oh, can we make this a hardcore match? It's like, calm down, Brett.
A thriller match, maybe? A thriller graveyard match. There you go.
You know, it could be. Halloween's coming up.
Yeah.
Who knows where we go with that? But, you know, I called this show, not that it was the official title. It's a high octane, but to me it's Calm Before the Storm, which isn't really the calm before the storm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's the storm before the calm,
almost. Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's you know, it's an exciting little buildup because there's so much storytelling going on. I think that kind of gets forgotten sometimes, especially when you have like an AEW weekend where focus put on the, you know, that big company, but all the, you know, the progress that was still being made going forward towards the anniversary show. It's just incredible. And, you know, what's amazing too is the work rate. Guys are stepping it up. I think everyone's kind of motivating each other. Everyone's kind of seeing that you can't slack. You have to go out there and you have to work your best that you can, because there is so much talent that if you're taking a night off, man, you're at jeopardy from, you know, kind of getting lost in the shuffle.
Only the strong survive. And again, to quote the great Bryce Harrison, you know, it's not hyperbole, it's reality verbally. And you got to talk on the mic and you got to be able to produce, because there's people waiting in the wings. Makeshift Chemistry want to be tag team champions. Are they ready yet? I don't think so, but you're not going to convince them otherwise. And you know who could be and want to be tag team champions? Another team that'll be in the four-way, the Regulators. They're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And you got Class and Devin Reno. That's going to be the Billionaire Boys Club. They're the fourth team in there. But you also have Dutra and Wise Guy, who with another victory, that puts them in the mix. Yeah. And don't think the Suavecitos aren't fucking sniffing around. May not have seen them. You know, they're touring everywhere.
Yeah, like Chino Penitentiary. I think what other prisons have they been to lately?
Probably
that's
not.
That's where they've been, right? Is locked away?
I don't know. I think they've been locked away in Chris Hero's house because they're the West Coast Pro Tag champs.
Yeah,
you know, getting things done, and it's nice to see that. You know, my pairing them with Adrian Quest has gone nationwide.
Yeah. And who would have, you know, if you think about it, just that little bit of seasoning that Adrian brought to them at the perfect time when they needed that, it's unbelievable how that has really kind of excelled them. And you look at the difference in them. You know, they've grown up.
Because they never lack confidence, never lack any confidence.
No, but they know, you know, you watch them and what they do now, they are pros now. And I think that's the biggest compliment you can give someone is that they've gone from having the cockiness and arrogance that you need to, you know, feed the characters and feed that ego to make people start believing. But then you put it with that professionalism, and man, you can do anything. And it's, you know, and look at in 4 years where you've gone or so with the Suavecitos and Sky High. It's amazing to see how those guys have taken everything that they've learned and put it into a real polished presentation now of what it is to be a tag team together. Both teams are phenomenal now.
Yeah, we're I'm extremely happy with the tag division. You know, it's funny because we used to talk and it would be, and I even think Sky High did a promo about it because whether it bothered them or they just used it to fuel them, they were the B teams, the Suavecitos, Fresco and Watson and those guys that, yeah, you could feel slighted, but what are you going to do about it? Yeah. Prove me wrong. You know, I'm sorry, Royce and Jarrell were better than you guys. I'm sorry that Toa and Juicy came in. They didn't jump anybody. It's not a longevity contest. It's that's the thing. And it's like always then when they talk about the belt, well, yeah, you know, I used to believe that. Oh, you're just giving the belt. No, they're just giving. No, you earned the belt.
Yep.
I believe that the reality of it is that I believe you're the best for the job. Well, how are you the best for the job? You're not the best for the job because you're big,
right?
Or you can talk. It's you're the full package of what we feel is being over enough, people caring enough, being able to work enough. You know, we bring in people, you know, no disrespect, but there's a lot of guys that, hey, we're going to have him wrestle him. Yeah, to the inner community, it might be great. But to the fans, they may not give a fuck.
Yeah.
And there's guys that are over just say in Vegas because they see them in Vegas, but they have no reach anywhere else.
Yep.
That's always, you know, the thing about you need to get followers. You need to get out there. You know, it isn't even just about, hey, I don't like you guys wrestling in 5 different shows in Vegas in a month, which I don't, but it's like, why aren't you trying to go to California? Why aren't you trying to go to Arizona? Why aren't you putting yourself out there? Because you keep working for the same fan base.
Yep.
You go to one show somewhere else that there's 200 people. Well, in reality, there's 1,000 people, because if 200 people go to a show, it rotates all the time. If you become a regular for a company, go work for Dom in Arizona where they're doing 500 people.
Yep.
And now you're getting new fans. And now those new fans, you know, hopefully when Devin Reno became a big deal, or, you know, Hammerstone, Graves, whatever, those guys, now Hammerstone's a star in Arizona. Hammerstone became a star in Vegas. Well, how many people from Arizona, once Hammerstone started getting somewhat established, I'm not even talking about it as MLW champion. I'm talking about as a guy who kind of ran Arizona. Like, oh, shit, Hammerstone's the man. Oh, shit, he's wrestling fucking Moose. He's wrestling Sami Callihan in Vegas. How are we going to watch this match?
Right.
And that's how you get yourself out there. And the more people see you, the more other people see you. And do you think Gabe Sapolsky doesn't have Triller and is checking out stuff, or he heard about a guy? And I remember telling Sanjay, hey, you got to check out. It's Rikishi's kid, man. Sefa Fatu. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're looking at Jacob. You know, these are when they're in their indie days. So they know who these people are. You know, there's so much talent, and there's so many people that are probably as good or better than everybody signed, but they work for such small companies and don't get out there that it's hard for them to get noticed.
And the other thing is that if you want to jump to the attention of NXT, let's say, the biggest thing is that they are looking for guys who have social media followings that are huge, right? You want to build up your social media, and you want to be visible throughout the indies across the country, period. If they see that your work in different territories and they see that you have a huge following on social media, you're going to most likely be able to get a look.
And that's a perfect example. Brittany Brooks, 19 years old. Started getting on the radar in the last year and a half. She's now being flown everywhere. She's got belts everywhere.
Yep.
She's getting on AEW. She's doing extra work for WWE. She's on radar.
Yep.
And Viva makes a post, and in most cases, her post is going to get more views than all of ours combined.
Yep.
And Viva posted the Bloodfest with Maserati. Do you think that doesn't help Maserati too? Of course it does. Because 40,000 people saw it.
And Maz just hit a huge number of followers. She didn't even realize that she had just hit a big number. And it's amazing, man. It's amazing.
Yeah. And now she gets to go to that All Caribbean, and Mark Henry runs that. Now, Mark Henry ain't done with wrestling, but do you think Mark Henry didn't have any influence in maybe getting Maz that match at AEW?
Yeah.
There's always going to be recommendations. Yeah. And working with the biggest stars, and you get recommended by. I was just texting Daivari about NXT. You know, I didn't realize how difficult it is to get in there. But because of the, you know, I just got inside info, basically, that I didn't know. Because of the merger, everything is so different, and every department is different. Yep. He said, you know, I can make a request. Like, I didn't really just want tickets to the show. I thought I'd go back there. I knew a lot of people. We got a bunch of extras, you know, from our talent. And he was like, oh, how many tickets you need? I'm like, I guess 2's fine, you know, cool. But it's like he's got to make a request through the email with somebody he doesn't really know, other than I'm a WWE employee, and now I'm a TKO employee. And you're a TKO employee, but you handle only the NXT stuff. And you only handle that. Like, I hit up Gabe. Like, who's not going to get – how is Gabe not going to get me in? You know, we're doing a seminar with him. We got the guys. I'm like, hey, is it cool if I come by? Oh, I only booked the extras.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck? Like,
it's crazy, man. Because, I mean, we got direct connections too. And there's no way. And – on top of it, you put it into the UFC facility, which is like Fort Knox.
Right.
Getting in there, period, you know, is...
I think I have a better luck if I hit on my boy Jeff from Tough Enough.
Yeah.
I just thought of that, by the way. Yeah. Like, wait, Jeff's got the in.
Yeah.
Oh, I can hit up my kid because the YouTube guy that I got him, who's buddies with Dana White, right. Maybe can get us in.
But it's so, you know, it's, I mean, who ever thought in this day and age we'd be talking about the fact that an NXT show is being done at the UFC facility where no one gets to go in, usually.
Tickets are like $200.
The cheapest ticket to get in is $240.
It's like, what the fuck? And it ain't even like, it ain't resale tickets.
No, it's yeah. And it's only like 300 seats or so, you know, it's a small.
Right. Right. And that's all they're worried about because they can price that out. You know, at $50, you're going to have 5,000 people trying to get in. At $240, you're hoping to get 300. But you also know you're going to be comping out 100 seats to people you know and you know, whatever important people that are going to be involved with WrestleMania. If somebody from Allegiant wants 10 tickets for their high rollers, they guess who's getting those, you know. In all honesty, there might only be 100 tickets out of those 300 that were available for sale.
Right. It's fascinating. It's literally the scientist experiment that they're doing.
It's going to be, it literally is a tougher ticket to get than WrestleMania will be.
Yes. Oh, hands down. WrestleMania will have freaking seat fillers, right?
You know, thank Jordan Grace for the house.
Well, let's just put it this way. This past Tuesday's rating is the best rating they've done. It's the second, you know, tied their best rating of the year. And
my guy Moose wants in, I read.
Hey, you know, all these
guys. How crazy would it be if fucking Moose comes in and fucking lays out somebody?
And there's guys that, see, that's the brilliance of this is that.
Chris Bay.
Right.
How crazy would it be? Chris Bay comes out and lays somebody out with Ace Austin.
But why couldn't we see Chris go in and
take out the Rascals? Take out the WWE Rascal version with Wes Lee.
With Wes. Why couldn't Chris, you know, work Wes? Why couldn't Moose work Dijak? Someone like that was perfect.
Why can't we get Wes Lee and Zach Wentz back together for one night only against Ace Austin and Chris Bay?
Let's face it. Why can't we get Wes going against his old rascal teammate who is still over there, you know? Because
Trey's hurt, I think.
Right, but you know, that's how the door's open now, right?
Well, right. So now it's open. You never know what we can get out of this.
Yeah. As soon as Trey gets healthy, you know, hey, maybe there is something there. It's
all right. Let me book it. Where's Shawn's? You got Shawn Michaels' number? Let me hit him up. I'll ask Daivari. Hey, can you give me Shawn's number? I want to help book it for him.
I chose UPW over Shawn's Academy. So I have Bassman's contact, but I don't have Shawn's.
Yeah, I got Tom Howard's contact. I don't think that's going to help there.
Tom's got his foot in the door with everyone. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm still waiting for that sushi dinner when they moved back 6 months ago. You know, he hit me up to tell me they were coming back, that this is what they were going to do, and I haven't heard from him since. Not that he's Mr. Social Media, you know what I mean? Him and Graves went to the same social media director.
Yeah. Oh man. So as we kind of wind up here this week, I mean, obviously, the anniversary is coming up on the 22nd.
Yeah. I'd like to give a rundown of the show.
Yeah. Yeah. What's
all right. So we haven't announced it yet, but we're about to. So, Rochelle Riveter defends the title against Brittany Brooks in the second ever Last Woman Standing match. Drake won the contenders match, so it's Damian Drake versus Bodhi for the No Limits title. We have Shogun versus Danny Limelight for the FSW Heavyweight Championship. Chris Bay has challenged Any former FSW champion to a match, and I know who it is, but so I'm waiting
for the promo. You got LA Knight. You got LA Knight going, huh?
Could be. Forbidden Door. That's why I got to get to NXT to talk to the powers that be. You know, Triple H will probably be there.
Oh yeah. Oh, he will be. Yeah.
You know.
You know, Triple H does like that that Kevin guy. So
yeah. Kevin might even be there.
Very possible.
Yeah. The Authors of Pain were there a couple. They've been there. Kevin's been there.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting to see. Hey, if Kevin's there, maybe I can get him to do a Paulie induction.
Or at least put Paulie through a table.
Something. Yeah. Obviously, we have the tag title match that I mentioned earlier, the four-way elimination. Trying to think, what else do we got on that show? The Cash in the Case ladder match.
Of course.
So it's Dante King. It's Gregory Sharp. It's the last two winners, Braxton and Matt Vandegrift. Yep. And the Fly, Eli Everfly.
Yeah.
In that match, we have the Nick Bockwinkel Memorial Battle Royal that is probably going to go to 25 or 30. I saw the post just came out. So Santana Jackson has been added to the match. Brett the Threat, a lot of the Future Shock guys you're going to see. And, you know, hopefully we can, you know, find some guys from the woodwork.
I'm still pushing Alcatraz, man. We need to wheel that guy out.
I'll tell you what, Alcatraz, I've always kept out of respect. And he goes on there on the student page. But he no longer is on Facebook, according to that. So I might have to see if I can actually have one of those things that's called a phone number. That's very, you know... And see, but I'd love to have, you know, especially even at the Hall of Fame ceremony, you know, all the ex or the Hall of Famers to come out to, you know, to support. By next week, we're going to announce who is going to induct the individuals in there. And I already announced Sally's supposed to be the host unless he has a nervous breakdown or something, you know. But we will see. You know, there's a lot of excitement, you know, moving forward here.
Just tell Sally to just serenity now. That's all he has to do. If he screams that, it'll be fine.
You know, got to see him first, you know.
Well, yeah, yeah. He's still on Facebook, so you're good.
Jeff. No, yeah, we chat every once in a while. Yes, keep in touch with the legendary Sally.
Well, there we go. We got a good rundown. Danny Limelight, if he wins the championship, is this where we merge the championship with Universal Wrestling?
Nah, they got no shot of that. Unless they're paying, and that's highly unlikely.
Yeah, I could see that. It'd be hard to get that pocketbook open with Marquez, unless you know, what's the number for Dave to buy you out?
A lot.
A million and a half.
Yeah. He don't have enough to buy me out. MK might, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's... I still don't understand. He's been trying to win the championship for years and years and years. He's got all the money. I don't understand. Why didn't he just buy the company?
You know, he could.
I haven't seen
a number. Tell him to hit me with a number. You know? It's a lot easier to pay off devotion. You know what I'm saying?
True. Very true. All right. Well, there you have everyone. Catch the high octane going on this Saturday, 7 p.m. start time still.
7 p.m.
and you can catch it at the FSW Arena. A lot of good
Triller TV. Supposedly the audio's fixed better, so we'll see.
Well, it's a test run still before the anniversary show, so hopefully,
yes,
everything comes out good and be ready for the anniversary. And I'm hoping we see Eli Everfly do a dive or grab onto the antlers, basically.
Yes, they would really love that.
Love there. That. All right, everyone. Until next time, have a great week and thanks for listening.